Yes.
And it is his cross. We sing many songs about the cross. This song is appropriately titled Beneath the Cross of Jesus. There were many people back in those days. Criminals, we call them, who were crucified on the cross, on a cross. In fact, the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, there were two others, thieves, one hanging on each side of him, who were crucified. It wasn't their cross that purchased our salvation. It wasn't all those others that had died before them on the cross that purchased our salvation. It was his cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood that he shed for you and for I. Well, it's good to be here this Wednesday prayer meeting service night, and good to see each one of you here and those that are online. Glad to have you. Trust that you will enjoy the service tonight and get a blessing from the services and especially from the preaching of the Word. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. We've been working our way through the book of Ezekiel. And have found many interesting things, many sober things, and tried to make application of them to our day and time. We started off with the chapter 25 princes. They were princes of the people. We started off looking at them. They were not good princes. They were not God-fearing princes. They were proud. And in their pride, they thought they were safe and secure because they remained in Jerusalem. And while many had died and many had been carried away into captivity, but they remained in Jerusalem and in Judea, and they thought, we live in right because we're pleasing to God. We'll be dealing with that tonight, beginning to look at that. So the character of these princes were, they were proud men, and they in their pride, they thought they were safe and thought they were very secure. They were, we found out that their wickedness, their boldness, was condemned. They were wicked men. They were taking the word of God from the mouth of Jeremiah, and they say, oh, that doesn't mean that. This is what it means. And they were wrong. They were a long ways off from the truth. And so we have men that do that today. They take the word of God today, and they take it to fit their philosophies and their situations in their life, and that's wrong. It's false. It's not thus saith the Lord, but it's thus saith so-and-so, thus saith them. And we see that there was going to be told that destruction would come upon them, and it would flow from their evil purposes and from their evil intents that they had purposed to do. The Ezekiel was told to take those words and that the God had given and told him, and he was told to prophesy those words to the 25 princes and to the people that remain there. And verse 13 of our text, it said, while he was prophesying, and as I prophesied, Peltiah, the ringleader, the leader of those 25 princes, fell down dead. God's judgment fell upon him right from the start. One, it gave authenticity, you might say, to the words which Ezekiel was speaking from his mouth. And secondly, to show that the word of the Lord was true. The word of the Lord was true, and it began to fall, and it was going to fall on the rest as well. Last week we looked at the last part of verse 13. When Peltiah fell down dead, Ezekiel did something interesting. And it wasn't the first time that he'd done it. He fell down on his knees, fell down on his face, and cried before the Lord. And asked the Lord if he was going to destroy everybody and not leave a remnant. Even the remnant of Israel, that remnant that you said you would leave, you're going to destroy them too? And that shows that possibly Ezekiel was a little bit misguided in thinking that maybe those that remain in Jerusalem and Judea were the remnant. Tonight, we're going to begin to deal with God's answer. Ezekiel asked a question to God, and God answers him. We want to begin reading with verses 14 through 21, and we won't cover all these verses tonight. There's a lot here. But let's begin reading with verse 14, keeping in mind this is God's answer. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is in response to Ezekiel falling down and crying out to the Lord and asking him that all-important question. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the household of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. As we've already said, this is God's response to Ezekiel's prayer, if you please. To his crying out to him, and there in verse 13. They are words of encouragement, assuring him, Ezekiel, that he would fulfill his promise and spare a remnant. You know, that was about six chapters ago. And God told about the remnant. Turn with me back to the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of Ezekiel. And remember the sign that Ezekiel was to do in the fifth chapter? He was, verse 1, and thou son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair. He was to cut all the hair off his head and his beard. Cut it all off. And then he was to take balances and he was to divide it in three portions. Remember? Look at verse 12. A third part of thee, this is what it pictured. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. You see, the third part that was scattered into the winds, into all the places that God scattered them, and it was God scattering, they were the remnant. Other two-thirds died. A third by the famine and by the pestilence, and a third by the sword. You see. So he tells about the remnant here in the fifth chapter. And Ezekiel's keeping that in his mind when he prayed about the remnant. Those yet in Jerusalem and Judea were sure that God would deliver them and return their lands to them. Because the exiles had been taken from the land and were far, far away from the land. I looked at one time and one day, I think it was 500 miles, something like that, 500-600 miles across there to the east. Far, far away, far from Jerusalem, far from their lands which they had been taken away from. Surely God was not favorable with them. They're not living right, right? We're the ones that remain in the land. We're still in Jerusalem. We're still in Judea. We're still in the land of promise. See, can't you just see the pride in these evil men? Those that were left? Interesting, another thing As we read down through this portion of Scripture, did you note the I wills? The I wills? Brother Ron, you'll appreciate this. Seven times the I wills are spoken concerning the exiles. One time it, I will is spoken concerning those that remain in Jerusalem and Judea. And it's not good. It's not pretty. It's spelling their doom.
It's spelling their destruction. Let's look at them. Verse 16. In them, about two-thirds of the way through that sentence, it says, yet will I. It's an I will. Will I. I will. I will I. It's just the way they put it. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. Not in Jerusalem and Judea, but in the countries where they shall come.
We're not there tonight, but don't we have a memory verse that's similar to that? What was it? He told Joshua and Israel as they were getting ready to go into the land. And he'd be with them whithersoever they went. Whithersoever they went. We just say wherever we go today. But look at verse 17. Verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people. Oh, so you're going to be in exile for a time, but then I'm going to gather you out of the people. Interesting, huh? Well, look at verse 19. Verse 19 is full of them. Verse 19 is getting into the really good part. We love to go there, don't we? Verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. Verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Isn't that wonderful? Then as we said, the last I will, well, that's spoken to those that are yet in Jerusalem and Judea, those who we would say have not repented. No, verse 21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. The Lord God is going to repay them. That's what the word recompense means. So, first of all, as we begin, we have those in exile being scorned by their brethren. They're being scorned by their brethren. Remember that this vision and its instructions came to Ezekiel while he was among the captives, among the exiles, by the river of Kibar. Go back to chapter 1 with me. In verse 1, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Where was he? Oh, it was by the river Kibar. But who else was by the river Kibar?
The captives were there. The exiles were there. This is when the vision first began to come to Ezekiel. Several times he references having seen that same vision that he saw in chapter 1 and other chapters as we've gone through the study. As he said, and when he mentions as he says, as I saw by the river of Kibar, whether it was in the plains or wherever he was, he saw it. And now in the 11th chapter, began a vision in chapter 8. Chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11 are visions that God gave to Ezekiel of the sin of Israel, the sin of Judah. And there are great idolaters. They're great, as he said over and over again in that 8th chapter, they're great abominations, which they do. He showed them one great abomination, which they did. He said there's more great abomination. And he showed them another great abomination. He said there's more great abomination. And he showed them more great abominations that he did.
Now he's been telling them the destruction there's going to fall upon them.
And begins to give him signs to see where his glory, where God is getting ready to depart the city, depart Jerusalem.
Beginning in verse 22 in the 11th chapter, we see him departing Jerusalem. As soon as we're done with this section of verses, we see God departing the city of Jerusalem. There were quite a number in exile. A third of the people, from what it originally was, a third of the people were in exile.
And the people that still remained in Jerusalem, instead of pitying the exiles,
they despised and insulted them. They spoke of them as being rejected of God.
Look in verse 15. It says, unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said concerning the brethren, Ezekiel's brethren, those he was in captive with, and the whole of Israel, he says, get you far from the Lord. That's what the inhabitants of Jerusalem said to the exiles, those that were in exile. Get you far from the Lord. Now these words were an insult to the captives. You can imagine. Put yourself in their place. Put yourself in their place. Imagine somebody come in into the United States of America and takes you captive and takes you back to their homeland. And then the people that remain back here in your homeland are speaking those words concerning you.
What would you think? How would you feel?
Suggesting in those words that you were great sinners. You were greater sinners than they.
Because after all, God favored them by leaving them in the land.
Those that remained in Jerusalem were proud. We've talked about this before and about their pride and thinking they were secure. Proud and thought that they had survived and were not carried away captive. They still had the presence of the Lord. Listen, this is the land of the Lord. This is Jerusalem. This is the city of the Lord. This is the city that is set on a hill that is far above all the other nations of the world. It was to be a light to all the nations of the world. God said he was there. The temple was built there. The Ark of the Covenant was there. You know what the Ark of the Covenant symbolized? It symbolized the presence of God, because God said, I will set upon on the Ark, on the mercy seat, between the cherubim.
They thought, these exiles are great sinners. We're still here in the city of the Lord, in the city of God. They're favored of the Lord. The Lord's smiling on us. Well, it was pride. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs in chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, we read this. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Do you see that? But with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. These, I got a feeling these people left in Jerusalem and Judea, they're going to face shame, because they're full of pride right now. They're going to face shame. We have another verse that tells what's going to happen to these that are lifted up with pride. Chapter 16, in verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction. You see, these were lifted up with pride. And God's word says, Solomon said, how many years Solomon was before Ezekiel? If these princes had been reading in the law and the prophets as they were supposed to have been doing, they would have known this proverb, wouldn't they? But you know what I found out? When we're lifted up with pride, we don't think we're being prideful. Why is that? It takes somebody else to see our pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
You know what the picture there is, haughty? Haughty is a picture of a man who's walking around with his head up in the air, looking up. He's looking up, and he can't see where he's walking. And he's going to fall. He's going to trip over something and fall. He's going to miss a step. He's going to fall. A haughty spirit. Any way you figure it, it's pride. He's lifted up with pride. And he's got a big head.
Instead of scratching his head here, he's scratching it out here like this. You know. A haughty spirit before a fall. These men back in Ezekiel, about to fall. The captives, however, they thought were cut off. They were cut off from the presence of the Lord. And so, because they were cut off from the presence of them, they were cut off from Jerusalem, they were cut off from Judea, they were cut off from the land of Israel. And so because they were, well, they were away from the presence of the Lord. And so because they were had to be away from the presence of the Lord, they were rejected by the Lord. That's what these remaining in Jerusalem and Judea thought. They in essence were Pharisaic.
They were pharisaical. They were cruel. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, in chapter 65. Interesting passage of Scripture. The Lord speaking here in verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. You know, that's the prophetic of the Lord going to the Gentiles, coming to the Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're told in the book of John, chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12, he came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That went to the Gentiles, you see. Because Israel, the ones he came unto, the one he came out of the tribe of Judah from, they rejected him. You see? But now notice what he says in verse 2. He changes gears. Changes from talking about the Gentiles back to talking about Israel. He said, I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. And these are words he's speaking of Israel. This is in Isaiah's day, a contemporary with Jeremiah and Ezekiel. His prophet prophesying was just a little before the time of Jeremiah and before Ezekiel. But same words. Verse 3, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burned incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountain, in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh. Notice that. An Israelite eating swine's flesh and brought to abominable things is in their vessels. I mean, they're doing abominable things. Look what he says in verse 5. Which say, these ones who are doing abominable things, in their pride they're doing all these great abominations. They say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, God says, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, I will repay, even recompense into their bosom. God says, here they're filled up with pride. They think they're holier than everybody else. He says, I'm going to repay. I'm going to recompense. I'm going to recompense that into their bosom. He said, and isn't that what he said here in Ezekiel? In our verses? I know we haven't gotten to verse 21 as far as in-depth study of it, but we're getting there. It's in our section of verses. And this is said to Ezekiel to be a comfort to Ezekiel and to be a comfort to those in exile. There it was. They spoke to them not only as being rejected of God, but they spoke to them as having no possession in the land. There in our verse 15 it says, unto us is this land given in possession. That's what they said. Unto us is this land. Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. You see, you had to leave. You had to give up your possessions. And now it's ours. It's given unto us. They said the captives had forfeited and had no right to it. They're disinherited, is what they said. You're disinherited. We are the sole heirs, and it is our possession. They claimed it for themselves. Under false pretenses. Under false pretenses, they claimed it for themselves. Near unto the Lord, they said, we are. We're near unto the Lord. Oh, they're misguided. See what pride will do? They thought they had a right to exclusive possession of the land. He had given it unto all of the Israelites. Handy? Hadn't he given that land unto all the Israelites? And as long as they would obey his commandments, hear his words, and obey his commandments. Jeremiah chapter 24, and we'll be going to this passage again in the next week or two. But Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good. And the evil, very evil. They cannot be eaten. They are so evil. You getting the picture? God puts before him two baskets of figs. One very good figs. The other basket is very evil figs. What do we have here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 11? We have two baskets of figs. We have the ones in exiles. They're very good. We have the ones in Jerusalem and Judea. They're very bad. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive. Oh, there it is. So will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah. I lost my place. I'll find it. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. See, the Lord sent them there. And he sent them there for their good. What's that say about those that he left in Jerusalem and Judea? For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. That verse there reads like verses 19 and 20 in chapter 11 of Ezekiel, doesn't it? Sounds just like the same, doesn't it? Yeah, same prophecy. Just in Jeremiah's words, as the Lord said to him. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. In verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. To revive whose spirit? The spirit of the humble. Those that are humble. Not the proud. Not those who are lifted up with pride. Not the 25 princes and the people that remain in Jerusalem and Judea. You see, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 14, we read, I tell you, this man, the publican, remember? For time's sake, I cut off about the Pharisee. The Pharisee, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Thus with himself. Those are important words. It shows the pride of his heart, and he's moaning breast, and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner down here.
And the publican, feeling his shame and his woe, could not even so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It's better to be exalted by the Lord. It is to exalt yourself and to be exalted by man. Because the exaltation of man is going to be abased, you see. No, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we do not malign, that we do not ridicule our brethren. That's who these were. They were, to these people that remained in Jerusalem and Judea, the exiles were their brothers. But they didn't look at them as brothers anymore. But God points out to Ezekiel there in the verse 15 that they are his brethren. They are Israelites. You and I need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't ridicule, that we don't malign, that we don't scorn, that we're not lifted up with pride over our brethren. Turn with me to the book of Romans. And I know we're going over a little bit, or we'll end up going over a little bit. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputation. In other words, let me continue to read. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth,
for God hath received him. Now, I know we don't have that problem today. Because we have come under the common knowledge that everything is good and is to be eaten with thanksgiving. That is, we sat down to the table to eat the bounty that God has blessed us with. We give offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to him for it. But the same principles can apply to other areas. And he gives us some examples. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Well, consider that. Brother Ron, you're another man's servant. Well, I don't have any right to judge you. It's because you're not doing things just the way I think you ought to do them. Who art thou that judgest as another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, ye shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth of himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to give an account for the things done in the flesh, and you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give an account for the things you do in the flesh. I'm not going to stand there and give an account. Well, I will, being your pastor. I have to give an account to God for each member that the Lord has placed in my care and trust and so forth. But on an individual to individual basis, you understand. We're not going to stand and give an account for someone else. We're going to give an account for ourselves. You see. Chapter 15, verse 1, he said, we then that are strong, think we're strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, I think I have light on truth that maybe the Lord hasn't imparted to you yet. I need to bear along with you. I need to bear you up. And particularly need to pray for you if I feel that strong about it. You see. And we ought to be praying for one another anyhow. He said it like this in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we'll close with this portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. And I was going to read a few verses there, but I'll just read this one verse. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another concerning the things which we've received, particularly knowledge of the Word of God and of the truth of the Word of God? We've received it. We received it of another. Who did we receive it? We received the Holy Spirit as our teacher. We've received it of God. And so he says in verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You've received it. You received it from someone. What do you have that you've not received? And at whose hands did you receive it? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hadst not received it. In other words,
it was just yours all along, right? You just knew it. You just had it all along.
No. Who maketh us to differ? We need to remember that when it comes to the truths of God's word. There's, as he said in Romans 14, there's strong brethren. That is, they're eating meat and mashed potatoes every day. And then there's weaker brethren that maybe they've gotten off the milk, but they haven't got into the real strong meat yet. You see? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us the deep things of the Spirit of God. Well, we need to stop there tonight.